Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Ralph Reed.
Good evening. Have you enjoyed the Road to Majority Conference so far? Well, you know, after the incredible week that we've had, it's saying a lot to say that the best is yet to come, because we've had some great speeches and seminars and breakouts, but I think the best is about to come. You know, I believe that there were three hinge points in the 2016 campaign for people of faith in making a decision to back Donald Trump by the historic 81% margin that they did, a record in the history of modern American politics. I think one of those moments was when the president released the list of 21 jurists from which he promised to fill the vacancy left by the untimely death of Antonin Scalia. I think the second such moment took place on October 10th in the third debate with Hillary Clinton, where he spoke so eloquently and with such moral clarity about the tragedy of late-term abortion. And I think the second of those three hinge points took place on July 15th of 2016, when Donald Trump announced that he was selecting Mike Pence to be his vice presidential running mate. Because we know the tens of millions of voters of faith that we represent knew that that decision spoke volumes about the governing philosophy and about the policy and personnel priorities that Donald Trump would have as president. Our speaker tonight is the grandson of Irish immigrants whose father won a Bronze Star in Korea for his valor. He learned early, around the kitchen table, in his home, and in church, the values that still provide a compass that points true north for him to this day. The values of hard work, of patriotism, of faith in God, of fidelity to his family, and of selfless service to the nation that he loves. He's practiced law as an attorney. He's recovering from that. He's headed a state public policy institute that advanced conservative public policy. And he was a highly rated radio talk show host in the state of Indiana who combined unflinching conservative beliefs with civility and respect for others, saying that he was Rush Limbaugh on decaf. When he came to Congress in 2001, he instantly impressed his colleagues for his intellect, for his character, and for his conservative convictions. And he very shortly rose to leadership, first as head of the Republican Study Committee, and then as chair of the Republican Conference, making him the third highest-ranking leader in the House of Representatives. He was named one of the 10 most effective members of Congress, and he was often discussed as a potential presidential candidate. But he chose instead to return to his home state of Indiana, running for governor in 2012, and as governor, he passed the most sweeping tax cut in Indiana history. He reformed Medicaid and education, and he signed legislation to provide greater protection for religious freedom. President Trump highly values this man's friendship, his loyalty, his wise and sage advice and counsel, and his discretion. Like any good leader, Mike Pence doesn't care who gets the credit. He cares that sound public policy is advanced and that America is strengthened. To his credit, he never tries to steal the limelight, which is a good thing, because with this president, I don't think it would be possible in any event. Instead, he is a man of true humility who not only knows who he knows whose he is. He does the right thing for the right reasons every single day. And as we gather here tonight, the President of the United States is en route to Singapore for one of the most important summits since the end of the Cold War. And I believe President Trump is blessed to have this man at his side, as his friend and as his governing partner. And all of us are fortunate to have him in this position. My friends, if you've ever wondered whether or not your hard work makes a difference, you just look at where this man is today and the difference he's making. And please join me in welcoming again to Faith and Freedom the 48th Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence.
Thank you all. It is great to be back at Faith and Freedom, where the road to majority begins. Thank you for that warm welcome, man. I want to thank Ralph. I want to thank Ralph Reed for that kind introduction, but I also want to thank Ralph Reed for playing such a pivotal role for so many years in marshaling a movement that's made such a difference in the life of our nation. Would you all join me in just showing your appreciation for Ralph Reed and his family and all he's done for this cause, for this movement, and for this country? It is an honor to be back. Faith and Freedom Coalition's Patriots Gala. Now, last year I had the privilege to speak to this incredible group, and I know you've had a great week. But I also know that last year you heard from a friend of mine. And when I spoke to him earlier today, he was on Air Force One, and he wanted me to say hello. So I want to begin tonight by bringing greetings from a leader who's been delivering every day on his promise to protect faith and restore freedom all across America, the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump. Now, as you're all aware, the President spent the last 2 days at the G7 summit in Canada, putting America first. And now, the eyes of the world are on our president as he travels to Singapore for a historic summit between the United States and North Korea. It's what the president calls a mission of peace. After years of failed policies and broken promises last year, President Trump ended the failed policy known as strategic patience, and he took a strong stand. Took a strong stand with our allies to bring unprecedented economic and diplomatic pressure to bear on the regime in Pyongyang. And after months of steadfast American leadership, strong words and actions, things began to change. North Korea participated in the Olympics and held a groundbreaking summit with South Korea. North Korea suspended all nuclear and ballistic missile testing, and with no concessions from the United States, North Korea released three American hostages who arrived home just a few weeks ago. Now comes a historic summit between the President of the United States and Chairman Kim of North Korea. As President Trump said this week, he approaches this summit with confidence. The truth is, he's been preparing for this his whole life. The President truly believes that Kim Jong-un, in the President's words, wants to do something great for his people. But as the President often says, we'll see what happens. But rest assured, our president is going into this summit with his eyes wide open. And as he said earlier today, he'll know in the first minute if they're serious and if they're not. And if they're not, we won't waste their time or ours. We will not repeat the mistakes of the past. As President Trump embarks on this historic quest for peace, I can assure you that he also goes with the family of Otto Warmbier on his heart. I talked to Otto's dad on the phone earlier today. I told him how the president spoke of their son in the Rose Garden this week, describing him, in his words, as a brilliant, beautiful, terrific young man, and so he was. And in the words of the Warmbiers' faith tradition, may his memory be a blessing. Today, I assured his dad, as the president said 2 days ago, their beloved son, Otto Warmbier, will not have died in vain. As the president makes his way across the vast Pacific, I know he goes with all our hopes and all our support. But I want to say to all those gathered here, make sure that he also goes with your prayers. When I told the president this morning that I knew people across the country were praying for him, he responded quietly to me, saying, "I know. I know." And as the president and I both know, while strong American leadership has accomplished much, the effective and fervent prayers of a righteous people can availeth much more. So, America, let's pray for our president, and let's pray for peace for the Korean people and the world. It really is great to be back. Great to be back at this 9th annual Road to Majority Conference, the largest pro-faith, pro-family, pro-freedom gathering in the United States of America. And I'm here tonight to pay a debt of gratitude to each and every one of you for the unwavering support and the prayers of all the members of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. You know, last year, the President and I both thanked you and all of your more than 1.8 million members for the remarkable victory that you helped to deliver in 2016. And I'm here tonight on the President's behalf to say thank you as well for standing with us and helping to advance an agenda that is making America great again. We're doing it because of your support. We just marked the 500th day since the President and I took office, just a few short days ago. And I got to tell you, those 500-plus days have been days of action. They've been days of accomplishment. Under President Donald Trump, it's been 500 days of promises made and promises kept. But you know, I'm also here for another reason. And that is, we've got more work to do. We need the Faith and Freedom Coalition, to go forward from here today for another victory. We made history in 2016, and we need to make history again when we re-elect Republican majorities to the House and Senate in 2018. You know, the truth is, this 2018 election is unlike any other since the founding of this coalition. For the first time in the history of this movement, you're fighting to defend a faith and freedom Congress and defend a faith and freedom president, and you're fighting to protect the historic progress that's been made since President Donald Trump entered the White House. I mean, think about it. After 8 years of the Obama nightmare, President Trump has renewed the American dream. After 8 years of a static economy, stagnant wages, and being told that no growth is the new normal, this president has kickstarted a great American comeback. After 8 years of retreat, America is advancing because President Donald Trump has restored American strength at home and abroad. This is what we've done together. We're rebuilding our military, restoring the arsenal of democracy. We're once again finally giving our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard the resources and training and support they need to accomplish their mission and come home safe. This year, President Trump signed into law the largest investment in the armed forces of the United States since the days of Ronald Reagan. And we're not just standing with those in uniform, we're standing with those who've worn the uniform of the United States, standing up with our veterans. Just this week, the president took action, just the latest action, to give our nation's heroes access to world-class, real-time health care that they earned in the uniform of the United States. And we're going to make sure the VA works for every veteran in real time, the way it should. With your support, we've been enforcing our laws and securing our borders. President Trump signed the biggest funding in border security in nearly 10 years, and we secured $1.6 billion in funding to start building a border wall on the southern border of the United States. And on the world stage, it's been American strength as well. President Donald Trump has stood without apology as leader of the free world. You saw that at the G7 in just the last 2 days. And the truth is, America's once again standing with our allies and standing up to our enemies. This president, for instance, this president promised to take the fight of radical Islamic terrorism on our terms, on their soil. Thanks to the courage of our armed forces and the leadership of our commander-in-chief, I'm proud to report ISIS is on the run, their caliphate has crumbled, and we're on the verge of driving ISIS from the face of the earth. Bless our troops. And this president stood up to the leading state sponsor of terrorism when he withdrew the United States of America from the disastrous Iran nuclear deal and said no more. And this president also stood with our most cherished ally. And unlike other presidents, succeeding administrations who made similar promises, President Donald Trump kept his word when last month we opened the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, the capital of the state of Israel. So we're restoring American strength at home and abroad. But this president knows that our nation's strength ultimately comes from our freedom and the foundation of faith in this nation. And that's why President Trump has always and will always defend the God-given liberties enshrined in the Constitution of the United States of America. He's appointed strong conservatives to our federal courts at every level. In fact, last year, this president and our administration, with the strong support of Republican majorities in the United States Senate, set a record for the most Court of Appeals judges confirmed to our federal courts in a single year in American history. And that doesn't even count Justice Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court of the United States. The president has also taken bold action to protect religious liberty and the conscience rights of every American, whether they're patients, healthcare providers, employers, or anyone else. And in this White House, the Little Sisters of the Poor will always win. Last year, in fact, the president chose the National Day of Prayer to announce new policies to protect the right of every American to live out their beliefs in the public square. And last month, on the very same day, he created a new faith initiative that will once again give faith-based organizations an official voice at the very highest levels of American government. Last year also, at the president's direction, it was my privilege to announce that the United States would stop funding ineffective relief efforts at the United Nations, and we would begin providing support directly to Christian and persecuted faith communities across the Middle East through USAID. Now, we've made some progress here in the first 7 months. Across our administration, we've already devoted $110 million to this effort, but there is much more work to be done, and we're about that work. To implement the President's directive, yesterday I ordered the USAID Administrator Mark Green to travel to Iraq immediately and present us with a comprehensive assessment on the best means to deliver and distribute American aid to rebuild devastated Christian communities across the Middle East. And I want to assure all of you, we will give our fellow Christians and persecuted communities across the region the resources and support they need to recover, rebuild, and flourish in their ancient homeland once again. Finally, when it comes to our values, I couldn't be more proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life. From the first week of this administration, President Trump's been keeping his word to stand for life. We reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy. We empowered states to defund Planned Parenthood. And just a few weeks ago, thanks to the president's leadership, our administration put forward a new rule to prevent Title X funding from going to any organization that provides abortion in America. With even just the record of 500 plus days, President Donald Trump is already the most pro-life president in American history. So it's been about our values. It's been about America standing strong and secure in the world. But this president has also taken decisive action to revive the American economy. From early in this administration, we've been rolling back red tape at a record pace. In fact, I remember back in the campaign days, the president made a promise. He said if he was elected to the White House, that we'd repeal 2 federal regulations for every 1 new federal rule put on the books. Well, we haven't exactly done that. President Trump, with the strong support of conservative majorities in the House and Senate, has repealed 22 federal regulations for every new federal rule put on the books. He's repealed more federal red tape than any president in American history. We've also unleashed American energy, transformed the United States into a global energy superpower. This president approved the Keystone and Dakota pipelines. He overcame 40 years of Democrat obstruction to open ANWR to responsible energy development. And President Donald Trump put America first when he withdrew the United States from the job-killing Paris Climate Accord. That's what we call putting American energy first. We've also fought to restore freedom and affordability to the heart of American health care. I couldn't be more proud to have stood with the president when he repealed the core of Obamacare. The individual mandate is gone. And, of course, we all remember nearly 6 months ago, again with the strong support of those Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, President Trump kept his word to the American people again when he cut taxes across the board for working families, small businesses, large businesses, job creators. He signed into law the largest tax cuts and tax reform in American history. And he got it all done right before Christmas. And thanks to the president's leadership, the failed Obama economy is over and the Trump economy has arrived. I'm sure you've heard about it, but I love talking about it. Since Election Day, businesses large and small have created more than 3.4 million new jobs. The unemployment rate in America hasn't been this low for nearly 50 years. And the unemployment rate for Hispanic Americans and African Americans has never been lower. We're setting records. I mean, the truth is, for the first time on record, there are more job openings in America than there are job seekers in America. I mean, the news is so good that last week, even the New York Times, New York Times acknowledged it. In fact, this would be the first time I've quoted the New York Times. New York Times wrote last week with the new job numbers, they said, quote, "We ran out of words to describe how good the job numbers really are." And it's true. Because under President Trump's leadership, jobs are back, optimism is back. In a word, America is back, and we're just getting started. And that's what we've all done together, men and women, with strong partners on Capitol Hill. A lot of the great leaders you've heard from at this Faith and Freedom gathering here in Washington, D.C. this week. It's what we have done together. And it's making a real difference in the lives of everyday Americans. The truth is, since our tax cuts in the past 6 months, companies have announced more than $500 billion in new investments in American jobs, American workers, and America's future. More than 5.5 million Americans have already seen a pay raise or better benefits or gotten a tax cut bonus. And the remarkable thing is, these tax cuts haven't even fully taken effect in the law. Now, you know, some people heard about those tax cut bonuses at the end of last year, $1,000 in the pockets of Americans that people weren't expecting to see. I thought that was kind of a big deal, but not everybody agrees. I don't know if you heard about it, but the person who wants to be Speaker of the House again, Nancy Pelosi, she actually said that a $1,000 bonus in the pockets of working Americans at the end of last year was nothing more than crumbs. Now, let me remind all of you at this fancy dinner, I come from the Joseph A. Banks wing of the West Wing of the White House, right? I mean, when our kids were little, Karen and I had a term for another $1,000 in my paycheck, you know, at the end of the year that we weren't expecting. Christmas. Am I right? Anybody with me on that? I mean, my wife and I have always lived on a budget, still do today. The truth is, I want to say from my heart, anyone who says $1,000 in the pockets of working families is crumbs, is out of touch with the American people, and should never lead the American Congress again. So I came here tonight to tell you about what we've all accomplished together, but I also came here tonight to express the gratitude that President Trump and I feel to the great conservative Republican majorities in the House and the Senate and the Congress. These people you've been hearing from over the last couple of days and the people you've been supporting in elections over the years. The truth is, much of what we've been able to accomplish would not have been possible without the strong partnership of Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. They stood with us, shoulder to shoulder, to rebuild our military, to cut taxes, to roll back regulations, to protect the unborn, and to confirm conservative judges to our federal courts who are transforming our judiciary for generations. This Republican Congress deserves your thanks, and this Republican Congress deserves your support for re-election in 2018. President and I have been traveling all over the country. Already this year, we've been making great progress, men and women stepping forward for re-election and for election. But we need all of us to be in this fight together. The truth is, we all know how important a Republican Congress is, how important it's been to this administration to advancing President Trump's agenda. But the truth of the matter is, the Democrats know how important majorities are as well. The party of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer has been watching us dismantle a lot of the liberal legacy of the last administration. And they've been working their hearts out, to turn back what the president and all of us have accomplished together with this Congress. I mean, the truth is, I get the impression they thought they were entitled to another 8 years. 8 years of progressive dominance. But instead, they woke up one fine morning to find out that Donald Trump was President of the United States of America. And I got to tell you, the passion we see on the other side, I think a lot of Democrats out there see this election as a do-over. I mean, they've been waiting for it, but they've been organizing. They've been raising money and working since about 3 a.m. on November 9th, 2016. They're hard at it, and so must we be. I mean, you don't have to wonder what would happen if Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House again. I was there the last time it happened, all right? I know what I'm talking about. I mean, when the Democrats ran Congress, they nearly ran America into the ground. They didn't cut taxes, they raised taxes. They cut the military. They passed the Obamacare nightmare. They tried to push cap and trade on the American people. I mean, truthfully, that during the Obama administration, the average rate of growth in the strongest economy in the history of the world was 1.8% for 8 years. I mean, the truth is that the last time they were in charge, they made government stronger and the economy weaker. And by the time they were done, millions of Americans had all but lost hope that their children had a shot at a brighter future than the life they lived. It was a record of failure. And let's be honest, the Democrats have only gotten worse and more extreme since the last time they were in charge. I mean, as the saying goes, this ain't your parents' Democrat Party anymore, if you haven't noticed. I mean, think about it. Bernie Sanders, a man I actually served with in the Congress, a nice man, an avowed socialist, nearly won the Democratic nomination for the presidency in 2016. In fact, last month, four outright socialists won Democrat primaries in Pennsylvania. I mean, you got Nancy Pelosi, who actually criticized the president for calling vicious members of the MS-13 gang animals. And Democrats these days have actually opposed several of the president's nominees to our federal courts simply because of their Christian faith. And one member of the Senate actually questioned the Catholic convictions of a highly qualified nominee to our federal court of appeals, saying simply that her, quote, dogma lives loudly within her. I mean, they used to say they wanted abortion to be safe and legal and rare. Remember those days? Well, now the left has a slogan that they want you to shout your abortion. Their so-called comedians joke about it, and they want you, the American taxpayer, to pay for it. So make no mistake about what's at stake this November. This election is a choice. It's a choice between resistance and renewal. It's a choice between obstruction and optimism. And this November, it's a choice between an America of failed ideas and faltering will, or an America of faith and freedom and renewed greatness. And I know America will make the right choice again. Built on faith and freedom and making America great again. But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to make that a reality. I know that's why you're here in Washington, D.C. Some of you traveled long distance to be here. Some are watching us online. So tonight, on behalf of President Trump, I want to say to the men and women of the Faith and Freedom Coalition here and around the country, it's time we got to work. It's time we continued the work that brought about the great victories in the Congress and the great victories in the White House and the great progress that we've made in this agenda. We've just got to decide. We've just got to decide that we're going to do it again. We've just got to decide that this is going to be the day that we pledge to deliver another historic victory for the American people. Let this be the day that we decided to beat back the blue wave with a red tide of conservative support across America. Let this be the day. As I said at the top, the President and I will always be grateful for your tireless work in 2016 and be looking forward to seeing you in 2020 as well. But right now, the President and I need you to be focused, as you are in this conference, with even more energy and enthusiasm than ever before. Bring your voices, bring your values, bring your hard work to these midterm elections of 2018, because they matter. Don't grow weary in doing good. You know, the President's got a theory about these midterm elections. And the truth is, for the party in office in the White House, the first midterm election can be challenging, and history proves that out. I mean, the conventional wisdom says we're going to have a challenging year as a party this year. But I think we all know what President Donald Trump thinks of conventional wisdom. We made history in 2016, and with your support, we're going to make history in 2018 again, when we turn that historic trend on its ear. So don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't rest on your laurels. The challenge is right now. So keep showing up. Keep speaking out back in your home communities, in your state, and all across this country. Just go tell the story of American renewal that's happening. I mean, go tell people we cut their taxes, right? I mean, go tell them what's happening with the appointment of conservatives to our courts with the strong support of these majorities in the United States Senate. Tell them how this is a president who has America standing tall on the world stage again with renewed American strength. Just go tell them everything that they're not hearing about on most of their local cable television stations. Talk to your neighbors and your friends. Get involved and spread the word, because we've got a great story to tell. Continue to bring your deepest held convictions everywhere you go, impacting hearts and minds. This is a movement that literally is changing America, strengthening America. But it's a movement that's come from America, not from Washington, D.C. And I have to say, with your tireless work and support from this day through Election Day, I just know we will defend and even expand our Republican majorities in Congress. We will build on this record of historic accomplishments. For all that we've accomplished in these 500-plus days, that's just what President Trump calls a good start. And while we're at it, we will lay a foundation for 2020 when we reelect President Donald Trump for 4 more years. I believe it. This I know will do, because like all of you gathered here, I have faith. I have faith in each and every one of you, in the boundless capacity of the American people to set the ship right again. I have faith in the leaders that we've elected at every level. I know these men and women. I've worked closely with them in these majorities, in the Congress, in the House, in the Senate, and I know they deserve your support. And I have faith in our president, my friend, whose strong leadership has been delivering real results at home and abroad. He's the right man at the right time in the life of this nation. And I couldn't be more honored to be Vice President for President Donald Trump. You know, I saw the impact of that leadership at 3 in the morning a few weeks back. I mentioned it a little bit earlier in my speech. I'll close with it tonight. We watched that blue and white plane pull up on the tarmac of Andrews Air Force Base, carrying three Americans who'd been held hostage in a foreign land. As they stepped out of the plane, flanked by the president and the first lady who'd gone up to greet them, you could see the joy on their faces. But I didn't expect to happen what happened when they got to the base of the stairs. As they approached me and the Secretary of State, and my wife Karen, they embraced us. They grabbed our hands with both hands. And they talked about faith. And one of the men stepped off and he handed me a little handwritten 3x5 card. I found out later he'd handed one to the president up on the plane, and he handed one to our new Secretary of State as well. On one side, in their own hand, was penned Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things. And then on the back, I saw a note. Very similar to what they'd written to the president and to the secretary. Dear Mr. Vice President Pence, we praise the Lord who has done great things for America and for us. We deeply appreciate your prayers and the U.S. government bringing us home. God bless great America, and God bless our great leaders. Signed, Kim and Tony and Jim. Men and women, these moments are happening in the life of our nation because we have a president standing strong in the Oval Office. The world is respecting America again. And the results on that night and on every day that we reflect on over these last 500 some odd days is a result of his leadership and the strong support of the men and women that you have elected to the Congress to partner with this president at such a time as this. And that's why I have that faith. Faith in all of you. Faith in our ideals. Faith in this president and in these leaders. The progress we've made that we've just begun. And of course, I have that other kind of faith. I cling to those ancient words that Americans have clung to in much more challenging times than these. Words of promise from the good book that say to this generation, as they have hundreds of generations, people around the world before, and will claim them today, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So with faith in all of you, with faith in our ideals, with faith in our president and these great leaders in Congress, and faith in him who promises a hope and a future, I know the best days for America are yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And let's get back to work.